Well, at this time, I'm going to open up the altar if you'd like to come and pray. This is a great place to come and pray. What we'll do is we're going to pray. We're going to take up our regular tithes and offerings. And since it's the first Sunday of the month, we're going to collect our impact offering to give to a charity. One of the charities I've been thinking about, you might remember Mayor Bowman's daughter who was killed several years back by a car. They usually go out and they buy all these bicycle helmets and they give it to all the kids. And I think it's in second or third grade that they do this. And I was thinking this morning, that would be a nice place to maybe give our impact offering. So I wanted to make you aware of that. I'm going to ask Reverend Carol Hutchinson if he'd come up here and pray with us. This is one of my favorites in the Wesleyan denomination. So he is a good preacher. He's a good man. And I have a lot of respect for him. So I'm going to see if you can give him your mic. If y'all want to come and pray, you can come and pray.
We come into your presence, O God. We gather around as people of faith, as people with great needs as well, to celebrate your goodness to us and that great love which reached down to redeem humankind. And so many of us personally, Lord, have experienced that grace today. We can say amen to the message and the good news of Christ's death and His life today given for us. Lord, we come this morning with no doubt many needs as a congregation of faith. Many of us harbor perhaps ill will in relationships. Many of us have concerns about family members or neighbors or our work partners who are ill and need a healing touch from you. Lord, we come also with concerns about losses in the past of significant family members. We come grieving because we come and there's an empty place at the seat. We just pray, O God, and know that you're concerned about each of these needs and whatever we may be facing today and in the future. We're thankful, O God, that we do not know the future, but you do. You carry us through difficult times when we come to trust you as our shepherd and our Lord of life. Lord, I thank you for Hilltop and the ministry that it has throughout this region and this community. Thank you for Pastor Scott Olsman and each staff of the Lord, Sunday school staff, music ministers, and those who have given themselves in teaching and given themselves in ministry through the years. We pray that you would continue to bless and honor the faithfulness of your people. And may this church, O God, continue to grow and continue to be a lighthouse in this community to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the many things coming up that we need to hover our prayers about, the district conference coming up Saturday, and the district camp meeting, or the advance, or whatever we call it now, Lord. We pray that as your people come, may you continue to ignite each one of us to be aware of what you want to do with the Wesleyan Church and each of the churches across the district. We pray that you would anoint the teachers that are coming. Anoint, we pray, Dr. Line as she prepares her heart for the preaching of the Word. May we all be receptive to what you have to teach us and to move us. Lord, we will not forget in this service, there may be some who have come who have never trusted you. We know it's never too late. We pray that you would continue to woo you, our hearts toward you, move us toward you, Lord, to trust you in a personal way. The Lord Jesus Christ, who came to give us life and that life more abundant. Now, knowing our pastor this morning as he preaches from the Word, may we be attentive and be receptive to what you have for us, what you've spread for us at the table. May we go from this time of worship today to serve you more faithfully and more attentively. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
That is a very real thing that I think many of us deal with. And I think what I like about that song, Tanya, and I was thinking about it when we were singing it, is the feeling part, where we're acknowledging that we don't always feel that God is loving us or feel things that we think that we need to feel to have our relationship with Him, but yet we take Him at His word. And that's why I'm always telling everybody, don't follow your feelings all of the time, because your heart will lie to you. That is it. I was thinking when we were singing too, I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, we're talking about Jacob this morning, and I was trying to figure out, well, what does God want to do? And I think one of the things that came into my mind is that, you know, when I look at God, what I realize about Him is that He looks at this world in a way that's different than us. He looks at us as a people, and He becomes disappointed in people as a group. But then there's this element of Him where we have to have a relationship with Him. And one of the things about that relationship with Him is that it is a process. Everything is in a process. There's so many times that I think that God is going to do something instantaneously, or He's going to intervene and somehow flip that switch. But God does things, in my experience, in a process. And so what we've been doing is we've been going through the book of Genesis, especially in regard to Jacob's life. I've been calling it the stay in your lane. But one of the points that's been standing out to me is that God intends good for us. And when I look at kids, when I'm working at school or something, or when I come in contact with people who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, most of these people have been impacted by other pastors or other Sunday school teachers, and probably have been told, you know, you got to turn to Jesus Christ, otherwise you're not going to make it to heaven. They've been told that they're doing wrong, all of these things. And so what they've been hearing is all of these things about God, what He doesn't like about us, or they've been hearing these things about this God who wants to punish those who are doing wrong, and that makes it the only reason that we should turn to Him is to avoid a punishment. And I've been telling people that I've been tracking that with school. You can see that. And then I also talk about to you in the past, I've said, you know, a lot of times that's the God of the courtroom that I just gave you. And then other times I hear people say stuff about God the Father, and not everybody has a good mom or dad anymore. I don't know if you're aware of that. So sometimes that doesn't connect. And then I've been trying to get this God of the journey, this God who loves us, who is much greater than these. And so what I've realized is that if people understood that God intends good for them, that they would actually probably lower their defenses. Because what I think has happened to most of us through our lives, if you have life experience, you've somehow been shaped by the experiences in your life, and you've been shaped in such a way that you actually have this image of who you might think God is. So what I've said in the past to you too is everything that I've experienced up to this point, especially before I was 25 years old, things that I experienced, I even to this day, I have a tendency when I sit down to read my Bible, I read from those experiences, if that makes sense, because they've shaped me And so what I had is I have to fight against this image of this God that I think is out there and understand maybe a song like we just sang that says, He loves me, that He wants good for me. Even if I don't feel it, even if sometimes I don't think it's real, it doesn't change the fact that God is still there. God still loves me, and He still wants to have a relationship with me, and He wants good for me. And I got to be honest with you, one of the biggest challenges of coming to Christ for me personally, it may not be you, but for me personally, was the idea that God really did want something good for me. Because you remember those experiences I was telling you about. Up to that point, I felt like God was doing things to me to harm me. And I'm going to tell you something. If you have a view of God like that, that of this God who is just waiting to harm you, you're not going to have that relationship with Him. Because you're going to be scared of Him. You're going to be terrified. I told you last week, when my stepmom or my stepdad and my mom, they used to have a bowling night on Thursdays. We lived in this 13-room farmhouse, no caulking in the windows. It's all flat in Indiana, out in the middle of nowhere, you know, wood floors, all of these things, and you hear everything because you have to sleep with the windows open, and you can hear everything. And when they would go bowling, they would have the babysitter that I told you last week. She was the religious lady that came to our house. And as soon as they would leave, she would start telling me about how God's going to burn the world and Jesus is coming back. And, you know, if I thought I heard something, she'd start telling me there's something evil upstairs and that I need to pray. And I got to be honest with you, all of that stuff, yeah, it worked for a moment because I was terrified. I came to Jesus, then I got saved. But I got to be honest with you, I was so terrified of Him, I wanted nothing to do with Him. And I remember telling Him one time, I said, I cannot live good enough, Lord, to keep You from punishing me. And because I know, and I was 13, and because I know this, the best thing for me to do is to walk away from You and forget about You. This is what I told Him. I told you all, you should be careful who you let preach to you. You don't know. But I told the Lord, I said, look, I can't do this. I can't do it. And all the while, I was believing this lie. I don't know who told it. I don't know where it came from. But I was believing this lie that God didn't want anything good for me. It's not true. It's not true. Thank the Lord, I read the Bible out of spite. I told you all that. And I realized, good grief, He does want something good for me. So once I realized that, then I'm ready to have some sort of relationship with Him. I didn't know what it was. So I started having a relationship with Him. And then I caught myself doing what He said to do. Do you know why? Because I realized that doing what He tells me to do isn't something that's going to be bad for me. It's actually good for me. It's part of that good. And so if you look at our passages that we've been looking at, what I've been telling you is that what we've been dealing with Jacob in particular with this story, as we've been tracking it, we started with Isaac when we talked about how the blessing was taken from Esau because Jacob and his mom deceived Isaac because he was blind, he couldn't see. They deceived him, they walked in, they took his blessing. And I've been telling you all, listen. Esau probably thought that blessing was actually stolen. Nobody takes anything from God. Y'all understand that? God is still God. And God is able, even if I say, if I'm Isaac and I say I'm giving the blessing to Jacob and not Esau, God doesn't listen to what I say with that. Y'all see what I'm saying? Because He's God and He loves everybody. And so whatever happened, Esau probably got bitter, and certainly all the deception, everything that took place, all of the deceit that was taking place, it created all of these hardships and all of these baggages for this family to have to carry. And all the kids, and I told you on Father's Day, guess what the kids were seeing? This is how we treat each other. This is what we do. We're going to duplicate this. And so you start seeing it recur in everybody's life. And then I also told you in a couple of those sermons, I said, look, you know what God doesn't do? He doesn't take us out of a hard place either. Because remember, now I'm trying to tie this right to God intends good. So I've just said something that seems very contrary. God doesn't take us out of a difficult situation, but yet he intends good for us. That's hard to put your mind on, isn't it? So once you start understanding that God intends good for us, then the only way I'm going to reason it is that God is working through the process of that difficult situation to reveal his goodness, not just for my sake, but also for the people who are observing my life. They're watching, and they're learning that God intends good. And here's what's even crazier. Even if I don't notice that God is doing good for me, the people who don't know anything about the Lord, like I was when my babysitter came over, they're observing and they're seeing that God must want good for somebody, right? Because they're seeing that things are going better in my life because I'm serving Christ. So he keeps me in those situations, and I'm also learning that he's much greater than those situations. And those situations that I actually find myself in, guess what? They don't have power over me unless I give it to them. You know how many Christians need to know that this morning? I came up in a crazy household. I told you, people would have said, I can just imagine school teachers would have said, Scott's a product of his environment. I'm a product of something. But there's certainly that, and I get them saying that. But here's the thing. Yes, I was a product of my environment, but Jesus Christ changed me. And now the goal is, what I would hope they could see, is I'm a product of God's kingdom. You see what I'm saying? And the only one that can do it is the one that intends good for me, but I have to believe that he intends good for me to allow him to be able to do that. So in this story, again, Jacob now is getting ready to take off because he's deceived his brother. His brother wants to kill him because there's always a consequence to our poor decision-making, right? And especially if we deceive our neighbors, and our neighbors are not just our neighbors. Sometimes they might be our spouse that we need to learn how to love. Sometimes they're our brothers and sisters that we need to learn how to love. Hey, sometimes they might be our children. So our neighbors, when we deceive them, there are consequences that we have to face. So he's taken off, right? So he's going to go to his uncle's land in Padan Aram, and he's going to try to marry one of his relatives, the daughter of Laban. And so God has already appeared to him, and God's basically said to Jacob, and you remember this from last week, I am going to be with you, and I'm going to take care of you. I'm paraphrasing. But I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to make sure that you are blessed, because when you're blessed, everybody's going to be blessed through you, all of your descendants. You're going to be blessed. So we're going to pick up the reading, and I'm just going to read chapter 29, verses 14 to 31 real quick in Genesis. As soon as I turn to the right page. Now keep in mind, God's wanting good for all of us. I'm going to start with verse 14, and it says this. This is after Jacob's come across the shepherds, and he's met Rachel, Laban's daughter, and he's talking to Laban, and it says, then Laban said to him, you are my own flesh and blood. After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I'll work for you for 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. My time is completed and I want to make love to her. So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her attendant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me? Laban replied, It is not our custom to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work. And Jacob did so. He finished a week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. How'd y'all like to be Leah? Laban gave his servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her attendant. Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. And I put verse 31 in here for this very reason. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. So, all of this that we just read right here, and we're talking about how God intends good for us, when you look at this and you put yourself in each one of these persons' place, especially, let's say, Rachel and Leah, this is going to be a hard sell for them to buy into, isn't it? Let's look at the first thing I want you to see. God intends good for us because he is with us when we are alone. This is the truth. So I've been telling you, when we pick up with Jacob, what we found is that he was going to be running for his life because his brother wants to kill him for stealing his blessing, right? He stole his deathbed blessing. And when he has to take off, what they do is they decide to send him to Padan Aram to go see Laban so that he can get married to one of the daughters of Laban. And so what's happening is he's going to find him a wife. We get this. But here's the thing. He has nothing. He is going by himself, and this is quite a journey. Can you imagine walking at night through the desert by yourself with all of the wild beasts, I guess, that would possibly be out there? He is by himself, and what we find is that God has already told him, I am going to be with you. Because remember, God's intending good for Jacob. And I told you last week, the difference between our God and all of the other false gods is this very point right here. God is always intending good for us. And so this is going to be something that Jacob's going to have to learn. And so when he goes to see his uncle Laban, he's alone. And so here's what I like. In this story, our narrator is now telling us the story. He's just giving us the facts of what happened. And so what's happening is, Jacob and his uncle, they're making plans. Jacob realizes, I don't have anything to give to my uncle to receive Rachel to be my bride. So what they're doing is they're making a deal. And they're going to make a deal, and here's the deal. If I was Jacob, I'm probably going to pray to God, and I'm going to say, listen, I'd like to think that, since I'm telling you all this, I would, but I don't know. In the back of my mind, I don't know. Maybe I'm lying. Maybe things would have been happening so fast I wouldn't have done it. But I would love to say in this story that Jacob is going to say, let me pray to my father. Let me pray and find out what I should do. Because God has already said, I'm going to increase you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. Somehow, maybe he's got a dowry for me to give to my uncle. But he doesn't do that. He's alone. So God apparently is allowing it to happen. Now, here's the thing. Throughout that passage, what we should have noticed is stuff like, oh, verse 31, God saw Leah's not being loved, and so he gave her children, a child, a son. So what we're going to understand from this passage now is that somehow, even though Jacob was by himself, God was with him in that whole situation. Now, I don't know that Jacob would have known it because he had other things on his mind and he might not have felt it. But here's the thing, God certainly was with him, watching over him. And God certainly wasn't trying to, you know, crack his knuckles because of making a foolish deal with his uncle or anything like that. But God was allowing him to go through this process. And in this process, we are at the beginning of Jacob learning that God intends good for him, and he's going to learn it once the process is completed. You know what? Sometimes I come in contact with people whose spouse might have cheated on them. This happens. And when this happens, you know what happens? Each time, I had some close friends in particular. When this happened, they want their spouse back, and they're praying, and they're praying, and they're praying. And unfortunately, very often, it seems like the spouse doesn't come back, okay? And then the other spouse is destroyed. But in the process of time, when they're feeling alone, they don't realize it, but God is with them. And here's when they realize it. Once they get to the place where all of a sudden, I don't know how God does it. I wish I did. But somehow God just gets us to the place where we overcome that situation. And so when they go through the situation, you know what is usually said to me? Well, I hate that this happened, but you know something? God was with me through this whole process, and I could never have done it without him. And I've learned so much about him now. Somehow, in that mess, they realize God intends good for them. I don't know how, I wish I could point my finger to it and say, it started right here. But somehow it's after the process, we get it. Let's look at the next thing I want you to see about God. God intends good for us because, now listen to this, his justice teaches us. Now, I really, sometimes I get to thinking, oh my goodness, what am I doing? Am I just trying to make a point here? But I think this is good because if you have children this morning, you know that sometimes you, in your, hopefully, your rightness, you teach your children, right? You might have to discipline them once in a while. But here's what's happening. What did you hear in our passage this morning? You saw something like maybe where it says Laban told Jacob, he said, listen, I can't give you my younger daughter Rachel. We don't do that. We take care of the older children first. Why is Jacob in this land? Because he was the younger, and he took the older's blessing, didn't he? I'm just going to show you something real quick. Another reason why he's in this land is because he deceived, he and his mom, you remember how his mom, after they deceived Isaac, right? They deceived him and tricked him into thinking that he was talking to Esau, but he was actually talking to Jacob. And then she put the blame squarely on Jacob. He's in this land because of the deception that he had taken part in. What's happened to him with his bride? He was deceived, wasn't he? I want you to know something this morning. That's God's justice. It just is. I tell kids, almost every day, that this world has principles put into it that are based off reciprocity. And in those, within those principles, what I learn is that what I do to someone else, I should expect it to be done back to me. And so that goes, we generally hear it in church world, we say, well, love your neighbor. Because if you love your neighbor, then probably, in principle, your neighbor most of the time is going to love you back. But here's the thing. When you don't love your neighbor, I want you to know something. you can expect to not get any love back from your neighbor in principle. Because God has this little principle intact that you reap what you sow. And so if I'm going to connect this to God intending good for me, then what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to say, okay, so how does that work? Because I've made a mistake, and now I'm going to somehow reap the consequences of it. And you're saying God is intending good for me. Well, he is, because you know what we learn? When I do that, I try to stop doing that so much. And in fact, because of that principle, once I realized that God intended good for me, remember? Once I had that in my mind, and I told you, I said, you know what? Once I realized he did want good for me, I caught myself doing the things that he says to do. Because what I realize now is that if God intends good for me, and that's a reciprocity principle, somehow I just start to give that back. Because this is what we do when we're in a relationship with him. It's very much like me being in a relationship with my wife, right? Like, I don't go and do things unilaterally without her. I wait for her to tell me what to do. I'm just kidding. We talk about it, and I don't do anything without her knowing, because guess what? I think, unless she's been fooling me for 28 years, she wants good for me, and I want good for her. And so this is how we love each other. We give good to each other. But if I have to, what God will do, if I do wrong to her, I can probably expect wrong to be done back to me. And so somehow in God's principles and his rightness, we get back what we give. Jacob gets this now. He's learning this the hard way, and this is something that's going to be strung along for quite some time. But in his love for us, God is teaching us not to do certain things to people. Let him take care of it. This is why I was thinking last night. This is why you can allow God to avenge things for you. Did you know that? We don't have to take matters into our own hands, because God will take care of it. Because he loves everybody, and he intends good for everybody. And he's going to teach them with his justice. Let's look at the last thing I want you to see this morning, and it's this. God intends good for us because he is good when others aren't. And I love this point. And I told you, I threw this verse in because the editors of my Bible have this separated from the main passage that I was reading this morning. And in verse 31, it's a story about Jacob, but I can't take my mind off what Leah's going through. Can you? This is so unfair. Her and her sister, even Rachel's being harmed by their dad, right? And so what's happened now, they've basically been pawned off onto Jacob as wives, and it's only because Jacob is doing so well making their father rich, he's basically pawned them off because he's making so much off of what Jacob's doing. And then if that's not enough, he actually gives his daughter Leah, who Jacob did not want. And the Bible says something about her eyes. Said they were weak. But some other scholars would say that they actually think that means that she was tender, which tells me something about Leah and tells me something about our God, too. God cares about what goes on with each person, right? So what we see with Leah is she's not loved by Jacob. Can you imagine the rest of her bridal week? Can you imagine him sitting there marking off the calendar days when he gets Rachel, what she's going through? And then Rachel comes along, and then she's basically a nothing to Jacob. But what's God do? He is good when others aren't, because it's clear Jacob is not being good to Leah, nor was Laban. But God saw her misery, and you know what God did? He gave her a son. Because Remember that principle I was telling you? Leah was probably giving love to Jacob and wasn't getting it back, wasn't she? But you know who she's going to get love back when she gives love to? Her son. Her son's going to give that love back to her. You know what? Most people don't realize this, because when somebody's treating us poorly, we focus on what they're doing or what they're supposed to be doing. When I talk with people on a regular basis, it's usually, this is common in the discussion, is that somebody's not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And so the only two options that people feel is either to attack that person or to withdraw from that person, which is not kingdom-minded, by the way. And so here we are. This is what Leah's going through. But what people need to understand is probably God is doing something very good in their life right in the midst of all that. Why not focus on those good things that God is doing instead of those bad things that people are doing? How many Christians do you know this morning, if they could do that, that would possibly change their lives? You know, this morning you might be somebody who's thinking to yourself, I don't know with everything I've been through if God intends good for me, because I don't feel like I ever see anything good. Well, I'm sure Leah could say the same thing. But I think every time she looked outside their tent and saw her son walking around doing stuff, she probably actually took a moment and forgot about the misery that she was going through because she had her son. And that only came from God. Our narrator told us. You're somebody this morning that's thinking, well, you know, I'm tired of God's justice. Listen to me when I say this. Then stop feeding it. Because God isn't going to change this world except through how we respond to what the world does through us. So what I have to do, I change how I do towards my neighbors or towards my God, and I start giving good, I can expect not to be taught certain things again. God's going to love me, intends good for me, in principle should get good. This morning you might be somebody thinking, you know what? I'm tired of everybody being negative to me or treating me poorly. Let me tell you something this morning. God wants to treat you rightly. God wants to take care of you. He's doing it all the way back in the Old Testament with this shepherd girl who had no say-so over anything in her life other than she was told by her dad, you're going to marry Jacob. We made a deal. But God took care of her. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you all to know, I tell myself this stuff before I tell you because I have to remind myself the same thing. I'm intentional about it. Right where you're at, if you need to, just pray to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to help me to know that you intend good for me. And then thank him for it. And then believe it. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now. We're so grateful, Lord, of your love for us, because it is because of your love that you do intend good for us. And Lord, right now, I pray for those who are within the sound of my voice that may be struggling with this. Lord, that somehow, Lord, something that I've said or something your word has said would cause us to remind ourselves that you do want good for us. And Lord, there's no other God that does. You're the only one who does. Because you're the only God, and thank goodness it is you. All of the other false gods that were ever, Lord, they never cared for us, but you do. And Father, with each situation that each one of us might find ourselves in, Lord, would you help us to be able to rely upon you, to be able to exist in this situation and to move beyond it, Lord, through your process, through your teaching. Lord, help us to serve you. And Father, we would ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.